WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Just don't go smashing the throne and think you're going to get away with it. You get the biggest stage of them all, but you smash the throne. I mean, did you expect any other result?
You troll.
This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel. And acknowledge us by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Sock in the Fortnite item shop. Two nights of WrestleMania, we gotta get through. Two. We're here to talk all about it. I'm the producer, Sir Rocket. That's the intern, Kane Kittens.
We're gonna have some talking points about this WrestleMania. Holy shit, that was a lot of wrestling over 2 days, so there's a lot to cover, so buckle in.
And we'll give you all 9.3 billion reasons why the main event was what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's Tim Stein.
That would be me. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition. WrestleMania edition. The best edition of all time of Wrestle Talk Radio. That would be us. Just a note before we talk about all of the 30 hours of wrestling over 3 days. Could the ringside cameras please mute their mics?
What, you didn't like Cena's patented calling of his moves in the ring?
There were three separate incidents over two nights where you heard the wrestlers call the action.
You mean when Kevin Owens said to the Usos double super kick?
Yep, that was one of them.
Yeah, there were many, many times, but that's okay. It's
but
fine.
Hey, now you know that Kevin Owens was in charge of the match last night.
There you go. Alright, so before we get into WrestleMania two nights for the grandest stage of them all, WrestleMania big blah blah blah, tomorrow WWE is probably sold. They are going to be part of an entity with the UFC purchased by Endeavor. A 51-49 split, a new publicly traded company of WWE UFC. Vince McMahon will be the executive chairman of the WWE branch. Nick Khan will be the president. Dana White will be the president of UFC. And whoever their chairman on the UFC side will stay there. And Endeavor will own the company. And apparently valued at $9.3 billion.
9.3 billion reasons we saw what we saw over the last 2 days.
I would, yeah. So that's a major story. We'll cover it when we have all the details, but that could break as early as tomorrow. All the stories came out this afternoon. Everyone's talking about it, but we'll probably cover it next week in full detail. That, let's get into two nights of WrestleMania. Overall impression of day one, Brent.
So I worked an event Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to come in about three matches in, I believe, because I caught just the beginning, I think, of Seth and Logan on initial watching. And by the end of it, it was one of those things where it's like I felt eight again watching wrestling back in the day and just getting super amped.
Mm-hmm.
About all of the stuff that was going on. And then I watched the first two, and that those were just fun matches. So day one was just overall a really fun 6 to 7 matches of good wrestling. I loved it.
Day one overall beats day two, hands down, for entertainment value.
Day one was more satisfying than day two.
Yeah, and I would say especially with the way, you know, with your finish, you went home happier day one.
Even before the finish of the main event, it was more satisfying finishes with Rollins beating Logan Paul, Rhea beating Charlotte, and Kevin and Sammy beating the Usos for the tag titles. It's fine. three big emotional wins in that manner. The only thing emotional on this show, really from a fan perspective, was the main event. Everything else on day two, Edge and Finn, I don't know, had the emotional tie like a Charlotte and Rhea had, or even a Seth Rollins and Logan Paul had. It just didn't have it. Was it a good Hell in a Cell match? Yeah, but it didn't have that emotional tie. No one was emotionally invested in Brock and Omos.
Except for Brock and Omos.
You got the two big beefy men slapping meat.
You did. Exclamation point meat in chat. You had Asuka and Bianca. They delivered a hell of a match, but it didn't compare, Tim, to the first night.
Well, yeah, you know, like, compare the two. Absolutely. Rhea and Charlotte could have main evented the entire program. The thing was, it was tight. It was vicious. At one point, I thought Charlotte had broken her nose.
It looked clearly like she did for a moment.
She may have. We just haven't heard it yet.
She actually may have broken her nose, because she did on that one fall. She did land square on her the upper half of her face.
When she took the German suplex and landed flat on her face.
She's trying to be all super fancy taking the bumps. She went a little bit overboard. But it still worked. That was an oopsie.
Yeah,
she didn't get her forearms down in time. But yeah, she literally face planted on the canvas. And when I first looked after she got up, you know, she's got the cut right across the bridge of her nose, and I'm looking, and I thought for a second it looked a slightly little bit out of place. I'm like, I said it out loud. Nobody's here but me watching. I'm going, she broke her fucking nose.
That was everyone's general impression by the end of that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like I'm saying, it was definitely, of all of the matches of the night, theirs was the tightest.
Well, and then looking back at what happened with night two, you have more excitement because, I mean, just looking at the way the card broke down, you had your two title changes on night one, so it gets you, like, the crowd into it for that. Night two was chalk. You had
night one was chocolate milk. Night two was just milk.
But it was just like you had the two longest reigning champions, or three longest reigning champions, keep their belts.
Mm-hmm.
And not that that's a bad thing.
Well, it depends on who you talk to on social media.
Well, I know. But, you know, it not every belt has to change hands at Mania. It wasn't the full reset that, you know, some people, and I mean, we had talked about last week, could have happened. But at the same time, it's like, okay, Bianca holding the belt for a year. Roman holding the belt for three straight Manias.
That was key. That was key. I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
She's undefeated at WrestleMania. You got to keep that going. When we talked about it Thursday, it's like, you look at the record going, I get this feeling she's going to walk out on top, because her winning her first two and them trying to position her as a WrestleMania main eventer, she's got to keep a winning streak going for a little bit to make it mean something. So her winning tonight made all sense because it's not thinking about the moment now. It's thinking about the moment 2-3 years from now when she finally gets beat at WrestleMania. Because Asuka didn't need the title tonight.
She didn't need it, but it could have helped. But at the same time, you know, maybe Asuka goes even crazier.
Yeah, because Asuka winning at any point at a Backlash, at a Money in the Bank, whatever it is, it can still will be the same because Asuka's already peaked.
Yeah, you know, talking about this match before it starts up, Bianca's entrance. I mean, that was absolutely adorable with those little kids.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Even with the girl who did the strange, weird back bend and just, ow, that hurt my back.
turned herself into a mini pretzel, and yeah. Then when she's all contorted. She looks up and she sneaks her hands in and waves at the crowd. That was so cute. Hurt my back just watching it.
Yeah, I showed it to someone else who wasn't watching the show and they went, ow, my back.
I've seen that before, so it wasn't totally like off-putting, but it was still just, it's still one of those ones, even when you do see it, you're kind of like, huh, okay.
Okay, and Brent,
that's evidently some kind of girls' positivity troupe out of Bianca's.
It was out of Compton or something.
Out of Compton. Yeah, yeah. Compton. That's it. Compton. Yeah.
And what was the third point, Brent?
Wait, what?
You had three things you were going for? We covered this thing.
Oh, I was saying Gunther holding the belt for as long as he has.
Yeah.
And kind of establishing the fact that the Intercontinental title means something, and that Gunther holding it is like, yeah, it's whoever's going to beat him, kind of like when Dragunov won the UK title, it's like, this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
The belt means something. Winning the IC title now has oomph behind it.
We've talked about this previously, that they are making the mid-card titles feel important again, and it's been a very long time since we've seen three guys fighting for the IC title who could legitimately challenge for the main event all at the same time.
Brent, how many times we had six title matches on the two nights?
One, two, three, four, three five, six.
Three on night one and yep. Three on night two.
Six title matches, only two title changes.
Yep, because Theory kept his belt,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't until you got towards the end of night one that you started to see some of that stuff change.
So you look at it and go, well, there's a lot more to tell in some of these stories. Theory kept his belt to keep the reign going. Roman's keeping his belt and keeping the reign going because apparently we're making filet mignon according to Roman Reigns, and we're going to keep everything going, and there's more to tell, and there is stuff for him to tell. You just got to create the interest in the new challengers for him.
Speaking of Roman Reigns and the bloodline and everything, was anybody sort of vaguely possibly expecting to see The Rock show up at the end?
No.
Well, I jokingly messaged Rock because it was one of those, like, if Cody loses, I was waiting for... Because they lingered just a little bit, and I was like, it would have been funny if you set it up for next year.
It would have been cool, but with Rock's Instagram video yesterday, where he, maybe I'll see you down the road, kind of teased it, but kind of showed he's not around to come and show up for WrestleMania.
Well, also, the other thing is, I think WWE learned you don't telegraph the year out like they did with Cena and Rock before, because it kind of limits you in what you can do.
Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things you just, you know, you got to roll with the punches. And WWE's rolling with the punches. You had a multiple, I guess, fancy entrances, I would say, on these two nights. We had everything from a man arriving in handcuffs in the back of a paddy wagon. You had
some people absolutely love that ring entrance for Dominic.
That was great. That was great.
I didn't like it.
Why didn't you like it?
I just it was too cheesy.
It's Dominic Mysterio. It's supposed to be cheesy.
Yeah, no, I get that, but it was too cheesy. It was just not impressed.
We got the lowrider, but that was with
Ray. Love the tribute to Eddie. Ray coming out initially to Eddie's music. We lie, we cheat, we steal.
I love that he came out in the lowrider because you know Dom is just sitting there going, "God damn it, I was gonna use that."
We had the ultimate babyface John Cena with the Make-A-Wish kids.
So Tim last week mention the fact that he didn't think that there was going to be enough booze versus the Cena sucks chance. That entrance ruined any opportunity for Cena sucks. The second you saw Make-A-Wish kids on there, it's just like, oh, if you boo, you're such an asshole.
You can't boo when he comes out with the kids. But no. we got the Let's Go Cena sucks chant.
But I mean, and he embraces that too. He's like, all right. Kurt Angle with the you suck. He's just like, it's just part of it.
It's just what it is now. We got grand entrances. We mentioned with Bianca and the Compton troop. We had Roman Reigns with six pianos playing him to the ring. You had Logan Paul.
I was going to say, then you had Logan, who was super extra.
Logan Paul coming down from the sky on the zip line that he got for his birthday.
As far as entrances and extra singing and shit goes, can we please find the guy who invented autotune and bitch slap him?
Sure, go probably tweet him or something. He probably exists. You might not be able to verify because the blue check marks are going away for people who don't want to pay, but they may be out there somewhere.
It's ridiculous. I mean, God, autotune. It sucked in the early 90s, and it sucks worse now.
You're not a fan?
Not a fan. Anything that can make me sound like I'm a singer is not good for the business.
What other entrances are...
You heard me attempt to sing.
That's Seth Rollins and the conductor?
With the conductor?
That was good. A little loud from the speakers, from them pumping in there, but... Yeah.
A little loud, and the second half was a little late.
But yeah, overall, it was a grand spectacle for two nights. Mm-hmm. Out of everything you saw, Brandt, what stood out to you most from two nights?
One of the things that stood out to me most was, in my opinion, they picked the right main event for night one.
Mm-hmm. Only because of the outcome. Only because of the story and the outcome.
Well, story and outcome is everything.
I'll expand on what I'm talking about.
Okay, hang on. But, like, there was the fight between, was it going to be Rhea and Charlotte? Was it going to be Kevin and Sammy versus the Usos? I was absolutely going to be happy if it was Sammy and Kevin, because there's so much tied into all of the stuff with that. And as I messaged you, for all the people who bitched and moaned and whined and cried and everything about Sami Zayn last year at WrestleMania being in the quote comedy match with Johnny Knoxville and how it ruins his character, and I can't believe they're not taking this seriously, all that stuff, you know, all you purists out there, look and listen to the reaction the man got this year.
Mm-hmm.
Look how invested everyone was in him and that match this year, and let everything play the hell out. Just saying.
Yeah, you brought up Trish. I just want to point out that she actually looked better in the ring than Lita. And Lita's the one who's supposed to be temporarily active, roster active. Like, Trish did not look like she had lost a single step. Not taking anything away from Lita, of course.
But I think one of the other things I took away from night one, or just in general, is that Mania always feels big, but it felt like everyone really tried to step their game up for this. And you got that from, I mean, you guys talked about it yesterday. Austin Theory, John Cena was going to be a little bit of a weird match just because Cena doesn't really get to train that much and he's getting a little longer in the tooth. So Theory kind of had to work around Cena. But then you got into that second match and holy shit, everyone wanted to get their moment in, but not in a bad way. Not where it was all forced. It was just a really fun showcase match with everyone able to do a little bit of something.
It was organic. It felt organic. Natural.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it's just like, okay, you weren't like, okay, they're really trying to ham fist it in. But it was, you know, when Gable's hitting the rolling German on Braun.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of realize, oh yeah, Gable's really good.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's like he can do the comedy stuff and you're like, all right, he's a bit of an idiot. But then he gets to wrestle and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, you forget how good he actually is because of the comedy shit.
And then I loved the spot where it was like every big man was trying to hit the move and it just wasn't working until Braun. It was just like, okay, you've got moonsault, didn't work. You have senton, doesn't work. You have this, doesn't work. Oh god, Braun's getting on the top rope. This is not going to end well. And then a fun new way of how they did the Tower of Doom spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you have a multi-man match, you know that's coming. But it was like, they got it set up for that, and then you had... I think, what was it, Ricochet coming off with the crossbody to send everything over? That was a fun little bit of a different take on it, instead of everyone just doing the superplex.
Yeah, it was one of the best things of the weekend is the men's tag team showcase. It lived up to the phrase, showcase.
Yeah, they went out there, they worked, and it was one of those things where coming out of this, I don't think you looked at a tag team and went, you know, wow, I don't really know where... you know, what you can do with these. Like, after you watch this, you're just like, all four of those guys in that tag division, I want to see more.
Mm-hmm.
Even the makeshift team of Braun and Ricochet, it's probably not supposed to work, but for some reason it works.
And it's all because of a tweet.
It was all because Braun put out a tweet, and it was just like, well, okay, let's go with this, and hell, it works.
It's working for them. Tim, you argued that something else should have been in the main event on night one?
Not so much that something else should have been in the main event, but, you know, I get why Sammy and Kevin main evented with the Usos because of the story and they changed the belts. Like, Charlotte, Rhea, by all rights, should have closed the show last night, except their story wasn't as big. Mm-hmm. The whole issue I had with the tag match last night, it felt like an extended squash for the first half of the match. An absolute extended squash, and I'm like, they better win the fucking belts or this is the worst choice for a main event. If they had not won the titles, that would have been a dud of a main event.
Sammy, though, had some of the best facial reactions you could possibly want for that situation, though.
Well, and for the longest
time... Why, you're right.
For the longest time, Sammy has played the underdog role.
He does it so well.
He does it really well. And in this case, the emotion kind of also dictated it, where it's like he's going to come out hot and probably burn through some of that emotion really quickly, and the Usos would capitalize, and then it's like, yeah, Kevin would need to be there to, like, be the savior. Which he was. That was the story of the match.
Okay, so... we'll get more into that in a second. So one of the things that happened tonight was a big surprise for The Miz. Last night, he had Pat McAfee, and Pat McAfee beat him. You had George Kittle,
awesome.
You had George Kittle involved, right? That was fun. That was a big, nice surprise. Today...
Oh, my God.
Today was, let's say... the return of Shane McMahon to WWE for the first time in a year or so. We have breaking news on the exact injury.
Oh, yeah.
He blew out his knee, didn't he?
He tore his quad.
You're not serious.
McMahon
curse.
I am 110% okay. Serious. He
the
tore
McMahon his... Hunter curse.
I was gonna say, no, it's just the McMahon Helmsley curse.
It's the McMahon Helmsley curse. He tore his quad.
That is amazing. I mean, for all intents and blame Brent, thank you very much.
There you go.
For all intents and purposes, Shane, get better soon. You never want to see someone get hurt. But holy shit, if someone's going to get hurt, that is the most appropriate injury for the family.
Oh, that's so good, though.
Wow.
And so, as soon as that happened, I messaged you, Rock. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, was that just set up for Snoop to throw a couple of punches? Or was that Snoop saving the segment?
I think it was more... He saved it with everything that was planned.
I was going to say, I think eventually Snoop was going to get involved and get through those spots because of the way that it played out. It was kind of like, this seems, it seems rehearsed, but it was probably like, we need to jump ahead.
We
need to tear out pages 2, 3, and 4.
That's why everything felt a little like, oh, we're stalling for time towards the end. Because they had like probably another 5, 6 minutes to fill. With stuff before we got it, and then a big afterwards celebration, but Snoop did his part. But yeah, props to The Miz having two different types of matches or things and just rolling with the punches. Like
literally,
he did a great job both nights.
Snoop doing the what was it that he did?
The people's elbow
off the ropes. The people's elbow.
The somewhat people's elbow.
Yeah, somewhat people's elbow. Jogging to the rope, turning around, leaning back just a touch. Jogging to the other rope, stopping, turning around, leaning back just a touch.
Dropping the elbow the same way as the Mrs. Lang, you know.
It was just that, yeah, that was just too priceless, but it was good. It was a good crowd pop for LA.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you're gonna have someone do those spots, the Miz is the person.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, the only other person that you could possibly even get away with that is like an LA Knight, someone that's charismatic but an asshole, and it's just like you just want to see him get his comeuppance.
Yeah,
Baron Corbin, not so much.
I mean, Corbin's good in that role too.
He's good, but it's like the Miz is a good enough worker and cocky enough that it's just like, yeah, anyone come along, kick his ass. With Baron Corbin, it's just you just want to see the janitor beat him up. It's not even like entertaining. It's just like someone just kick his ass.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about The Miz. He's got that kind of appreciation from the fans and the locker room where he can go out and everybody loves The Miz, you know, like we do, but we love it when he plays the heel and gets it thrown in his face. Mm-hmm. And we love that he accepts his role and does it with so much gusto.
Exactly.
And so, like, props to The Miz.
Props to The Miz for everything he did. And talk about wanting to see people get their comeuppance. It was everyone wanted to see Dom get his. And boy, howdy, night one, he got his.
Oh, he did.
I popped when Ray took off the belt and beat him. I mean, I had flashbacks of when I was a kid because I stepped out of the line. The old man whipped off his belt and boom, I got it right in the ass with the old man's belt. I'm watching this and I'm like, yes! You deserve it. I remember what it's like.
Well, and the spot for me in that match that just kind of symbolized, like, oh, Dom, you're going to get your ass kicked, wasn't when he got in the face of Mama Mysterio. It's when he threw the drink at Aaliyah.
Oh, God, she had her mouth wide open for that. She was spitting it out like three separate takes.
The funny thing is, I know she's not a worker, but I was like, I wanted to see her come over the guardrail and lay a smack on him. It was just like, that spot, you just went, oh. And then, yeah, Ray getting the work in to beat the high holy hell out of his son like we all wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It was that was one of those cathartic matches where you're just like, yes, he just needed to win.
He did, and he got the big win. He had Bad Booney involved. That's sure not setting anything up for backlash.
I was going to say, gee, I wonder if something's going to happen in the next few weeks. I don't know. Maybe down in Puerto Rico.
I don't know. Maybe.
Puerto Rico for WrestleMania Backlash.
Well, but you knew something was weird.
No, hold on. No, hold on. It's just Backlash. They got rid of the WrestleMania Backlash. It's okay. Backlash now.
Oh, so it was just the Backlash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brent, go.
You knew something was up when you're watching that match, and Damian Priest carefully lays his jacket down.
Mm-hmm.
It was
well,
like,
that was a little too obvious.
But it's like, I saw him take the jacket off, and then it's like, he gently placed it down, and I was just like, oh. Okay, either that jacket is more expensive than anyone's attire around the ring,
or well, yeah, I'm
coming up.
I'm watching, and I'm like, why are you putting it right up against the ring post on the mat in the corner? What have you gimmicked in there?
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting, like, brass knuckles or something.
Ah, okay.
The chain was better.
Chain was better, and it worked for the story they were telling. So I got more news from the press conference, and this is touching in a little bit and sad in many ways. So we talked about the girl who did the backbend in Bianca's entrance.
Yep.
She lost her mother today.
Oh no.
Yeah. Like, oh my. That wow. That just adds a whole nother element to what we saw with her. That's something. Wow. Anyway, that just
kudos
came
for her being able to go out and perform too.
Yeah.
Shit.
So it just came across, and so it's like I had it pass it along before we forgot. Yeah. So there's that. Anyway, moving back into everything, we had a weird mascot, the cinnamon toast emoji thing, in this.
Well, yeah, that was the Ray match.
Yeah, that was
because we had other mascots show up too.
Yeah, the cinnamoji was weird, and then we had a.
Yeah, how do you know when Peacock is running the show? When half the matches have a mascot.
No,
was Peacock. I think that was WWE with some synergy. They're making some money right there.
No, all of the product placement was 100% Peacock. WWE financially benefits from it, but that was all Peacock.
No,
trust
it was
me
not.
On that.
No, it was WWE sold $20 million worth of advertising for the show. This was all WWE, all integrated for them. This is not a Peacock thing. It's all WWE. Oh boy, people know how to re-cancel a subscription after they've already canceled it once. Boy howdy, aren't you special. Anyway.
Huh?
I'm just taking shots. I don't care anymore.
Philly Rock. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just taking shots.
Go forth and conquer and tell them. Tweet me. I don't care. I don't care anymore. Then we had the Prime water bottle. Okay. In the Seth Rollins match. You see it now?
I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, I canceled it, and now I re-canceled it. They got your money back. Just saying.
Where is it? I don't see
it. I'll tell you in a minute, Tim. Prime water bottle. Thoughts. KSI in the water bottle.
The second the water bottle's coming to ring, I was like, this. At first, I thought it was going to be Jake.
Mm-hmm.
And he would try something. And then when I saw it was KSI, I was like, all right. I mean, it makes sense. Sure. The second... KSI was hanging around the table. I'm like, oh yeah, this is not going to end well. To be fair, that is also one of the safest ways you can have an entertainment bump.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's wearing that giant padded costume, and Logan's just going to land on him. So they're both protected, and all Seth has to do is just grab him and pull.
I was wondering who was inside the suit. I didn't think it was Jake.
Because it looked too small for Jake. When I saw it, I was like, that doesn't look right. But Seth Rollins beat Logan Paul. I don't think anyone's really surprised by that outcome.
I'm not surprised. I voted for, I picked Logan Paul.
You voted. You went to the election. You voted for the process of Seth Rollins winning.
I picked Logan Paul to win.
There you go.
I'm not surprised Seth won, though.
Mm-hmm.
My pick was more like a fantasy pick.
For me, like I said last week, everything was building to Logan Paul getting the one up on Seth, that it just felt like Seth had to get the win here to even it out, because otherwise it was going to be, what's the point? Logan just keeps being an asshole. So, it can tell you it was the right decision, because when you heard the fans cheer when Seth Rollins won, that cemented it that, like, yep, the right guy got this one. We're good.
And we briefly talked about it. With Damage Control taking on Lita, Becky, and Trish, everyone looked pretty good in that match. Lita is slower than the others, but she held her own, I thought.
Yeah, she did look like she lost her train of thought over several different moves. Like, oh, I'm supposed to stand over there, not here.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, then she'd shuffle over or sidestep. And kudos to Damage Control for helping her. I don't want it to sound like I'm shooting on Lita. I'm not. But the chick's, like, 45 years old or something like that, 48 or whatever. And it's been a minute since she's been a full-time wrestler. It's understandable she's got that kind of ring rust going on. And I made mention earlier, near the top of the webcast, that Trish looked like she hadn't missed a step. Trish looked absolutely, her role was very limited in comparison to Lita and Becky. But, what little she did have to do was almost flawless. But then again, it's Trish, right?
Well, and maybe that will also play into what we get coming out of Mania, if Trish is, you know, maybe not as used as much as Lita and Becky were, and she was also.
You want to see one more Trish versus Lita?
Well, no, I was going to say, like, she...
nostalgia match from Elle.
But she was also late to the party with this feud as well.
Yeah.
So you can build in as part of that, because Rock and Lindsay talked about it on Thursday. A lot of what's been going on is like, okay, there's Becky, there's Lita, and then Trish is kind of there, and Trish is interacting with Lita.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much with Beck. So this could all be part of a larger narrative that's playing out. I'm just waiting to see how, you know, where they go with it. Or, you know, who knows? Maybe it was just, we got our legends in. This was a great match. We got, you know, feature a lot of our talent. And then Shayna and Ronda go and take the belts off of Becky and Lita, and that's the end of it. That's the way it could play out on Monday or Friday. We don't know yet.
We don't know, because there's Raleigh after Mania tomorrow. There's Backlash in Puerto Rico. There's plenty of time to figure it all out.
The new year kicks off tomorrow.
It really, really does, and it should be interesting. Brock beat Omos. No one's surprised how that went. Everyone who complained when the match was booked, I don't think anyone can complain. It didn't mess up anyone's WrestleMania experience.
No, look, they got it out of the way really early today. Because, as we know, if Brock's not main eventing, he's getting on that plane.
If he's not closing the show, he's opening it.
He went out there, he put his work in, and he got the hell out. Done.
And that you got the moment of him dropping him with the F5, boom, 1, 2, 3. That
almost still looked like a beast roughing him up for, 80% of that match.
It was what it was.
Yeah. It was the two big bruisers getting in there and doing what exactly they thought they would.
The women's the women's showcase of the tag teams wasn't as good as the men's night before.
No,
but it was solid.
It was solid. I mean, you do have some limitations within that match, including Ronda's injury. If Ronda was not as hurt going into this as she was, you may have gotten more out of her because, of course, she's one of the bigger names in this match, but because of her arm,
she was very protected.
Yeah, you're hamstrung with what you could do.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, you can't really do a lot with Shayna as well. So it's like you had to feature some of the other girls, and Liv still showing that she's put the work in.
Liv's still able
to get some of that shine. Good on her.
Liv and Raquel were really good. The spot I'm over at this point is the Natty double sharpshooter. We've seen it. It's happened.
Yeah.
It's not impressive the fifth time you've seen it. If that's the spot you can always go back to.
I do have to say one of my favorite moments in this match, because it was absolutely quintessential of their character, was you had that spot where Chelsea is celebrating in the corner,
mm-hmm.
and you just had Raquel standing behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she turns, looks at Raquel, and is just like, oh no, I'm not going into the ring. So then she just does the flying crossbody off the top rope. It's just like, I'd rather go out here and do something stupid.
Which was smart. It was good. Yeah. It worked for the character.
Yeah, it was just like, yeah, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm taking the easy way out. See ya.
So, and everything, Ronda winning made sense, because I have a feeling there's going to be a call out tomorrow. So should be, or Friday, or whenever.
Yeah.
It's coming. We had a banger after 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 banger for the Intercontinental Championship, though.
This match is
absolutely what we thought it was going to be. These guys are all sitting in an ice tub after this match going, sorry.
Ow.
Actually, not really, but good job.
Here's a beer. That was good. Let's do it again.
Here's a beer. Here's a beer. Cheers. Take a nice drink, and now hold it on your head.
That delivered every way possible.
Oh, absolutely.
That was a main event match on any other card.
Well, and you still have stuff coming out of it. Like, if you want to continue on with Sheamus and Drew, you've got a route to go. If you want to put Gunther against Drew alone, totally works. I'm not mad with Gunther retaining that title, because dear God, that man earned it. And again, whoever takes the belt off of him, it's going to mean something. It's not going to be one of the, no offense, it's not going to be one of those Intercontinental wins by The Miz or Dolph Ziggler where it's just like, okay, we've got nothing better for you, so here, hold this shiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
When someone beats Gunther, it's going to be, wow, either they outlasted him, or someone's bigger and actually was able to beat him. If that's Sheamus or Drew, or who knows, Karrion, or anyone on the roster that's able to beat him, it's just like, okay, yeah, you've earned this belt. It has some credibility behind it. Go for it.
Are we surprised that it did not, give Sheamus his moment?
If the main event had gone differently, then I could have felt like, okay, maybe they should have given Sheamus a little bit of shine.
Mm-hmm.
With the way this main event went, to me, it doesn't make sense for Gunther to win unless you were going to make him be the one to beat Roman. And I don't feel like that's where they would go with it.
Okay. Makes sense. We talked about Bianca and Asuka a little bit. Bianca kept her belt. They had a good match. Yeah.
No, I was like the, it's like when we talk about like Rhea and Charlotte, it was like, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, damn, they beat the hell out of each other. And Rhea got her moment in the end. She got the comeuppance from COVID mania and was able to kind of rise above and win.
You know,
oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Rock didn't really ask me what I remember the most from both nights, like he asked you.
Oh.
But it was the Charlotte Rhea, because you circled around back to it. It was the Charlotte Rhea match. What stuck with me was the end of the match, Charlotte sitting on the outside of the ring, up against the ring, with a special smile on her face. And anybody who's been in the business knows she wasn't grinning for any other reason than the knowledge that they just put on the best match of their lives with each other. They just put on a classic, and that's what stuck with me, was the smile on her face. She didn't sell it like somebody who just lost the title. Like, you saw the genuine emotion of having a fantastic off the hook fucking match. And the feeling it gives you. That's what stuck with me.
Well, I was going to say, from just a casual fan standpoint, when I saw her sitting there with the smile on her face, you heard what she was saying, because, you know, as we talked about earlier, live mic, she wasn't angry. If anything, it's one of those, like, when you see boxers or in, like, really big games, when the one guy wins, you see the other one that's just kind of like, all right, you had it today. Like, you got one up, that's fine. Like, I'll see you next time. That's what it seemed like with that smile, at least from a casual standpoint, was just that, like, you know what? All right, kid, you got this one. I'll give it to you. You won. Good job.
Okay. For those people who had their TV muted or didn't hear what Charlotte said on a hot mic, what was it she said, Brent?
Actually, I can't remember exactly the words.
Okay, you got it? Something along that line?
Yeah.
Okay, you got this one?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That was kind of... That one was an intentional pickup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes they're very intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Then...
But it was just funny, because comparing that to Bianca and Asuka, not that the match was any real level below, but it was just one of those things, like, there was something extra about Charlotte and Rhea, where it was Asuka and Bianca was just kind of like, yeah, it was a good match. It was good, but it didn't feel standout like Bianca and Sasha, for example, or Charlotte and Rhea just from this premium live event itself.
It wasn't a true main event. It was a match on the show, the Asuka-Bianca match.
It was there, and I think, you know, if Asuka had won, maybe there may have been a little bit something added, but I can't say for certain.
Mm-hmm. We then had Hell in a Cell.
Hell of a match.
Edge got to have his fun.
They had
and
fun.
Demon got to no sell 90% of the hits he took, except for the ladder right to the forehead. Did you see the dent in the rung of that ladder?
Yeah, and then the blood that started trickling out of his forehead, where they had to stop the match. They legitimately stopped the match. He got numbing agent on his and staples right there on the spot to close the wound. That's tough. And then continue over, what, another 10 minutes? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Got a weird entrance from Edge, though.
We got quote-unquote Brood Edge, but I was expecting more Brood. He was sparkly, I'll give him that.
I don't know what sparkly has to do with being broody, but here we are.
I don't know, maybe he linked it to, maybe he was trying to do, like, one of the Twilight vampires being sparkly. I don't know.
Twilight? Yeah, I mean, maybe. But they had a hell of a color-coordinated fight. We had purple Singapore canes, red chairs, you know.
Yeah, the red chairs was something a little extra.
You know, each team brought their own equipment to the ring. Hey, at least we didn't have a red cell.
No, you would have lost the chair.
But Finn doing the coup de grace off the side of the cage into the table.
That was something fun.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those things, like, you see him go towards the rope, and he's like, nah, screw this. And he starts Spider-Manning, and I'm like, is he just going to grab onto the cage and jump from there?
And then you see the little platform that was welded on right where the crossbar was, so nobody could see it.
Yeah, the second he started to climb, I'm like, oh, there's the little thing there. Okay, got it. And then he just goes through the table. And I was like, oh.
Could have ended badly. Could have ended badly.
I was like,
badly.
Yeah, that could have been bad.
Because we saw a table spot the other a couple of nights ago where a wrestler broke his leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened?
So there was a spot at the Ring of Honor show where, how did they say, it was like a flip dive to the outside or something like that?
No, it was, if I remember correctly, it was Penta was trying to do his power bomb, right, or, you know, the package pile driver thing,
mm-hmm,
and he was standing on the ladder that was between the ladder and the rope, and he went through, or they went outside, and he was going through tables, and yeah, it just did not, it
yeah,
did
the,
not go
the,
well.
It was a flip, and the leg just went.
Well, like, if you guys... If you guys have paid attention to the table that Balor jumped onto, tables don't normally break as neatly as that. That one was actually gimmicked.
We know. But again, yeah, still, even with it being gimmicked, his foot could still just sort of...
You know, like you can twist your ankle just walking down the street, or you could tear your quad just doing a funny a funny twirl.
You can tear your quad trying to do a leapfrog. And move out of the way. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Now we got to talk about it. The main event. Roman and Cody.
We had a Brandy sighting.
Brandy Rhodes. We had a -1 sighting. He's already jumped ship. No more Dark Order. He's now in Cody's corner.
Oh, was that -1?
Yeah, you didn't get that? You see that part?
No, I saw the kid there, and I was thinking, who is that?
No, they said it on comment. It was Brody Jr.
Oh, God, I missed that part. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, I was watching it, and yeah, I think I just missed the sound on it. Son of a bitch. Okay.
No, see, that it was Harper's kid.
He gave him the bell. You know, when mom's no longer in charge of the community stuff, then that happens.
He was at ringside. They put it over on commentary, you know. And everything that's where they got you with the feels right there. Like they brought up Harper, so that was a nice touch. And
somewhere Tony is like, Harper's ours.
They had a hell of a main event. We'll get to the finish, but the main event was really good. The crowd was electric.
Didn't the main event cause somebody to cancel a subscription that they resubscribed to after they canceled it the last time?
Well, yeah, I mentioned that 10 minutes ago. Thanks for catching up.
Yeah, I know. It was just like, you know, refreshing. You're allowed to take shots. I'm allowed to think them up too.
It was really good.
If you want to know how over Cody is with the fans for this, just listen to his theme song when they get to that, like, oh, of it, and you heard 80,000 people all join in.
Let's go, whoa.
Yeah, that whoa. It was just...
Oh, God, don't ever do that again.
Whatever. I need auto-tune, what can I say? And I don't look like Batman running out to join the Usos, like on night one. Anyway, the match was good because you had the emotion of Cody, you had Roman there. The one thing that bugged me was as much interference as we got from Solo. That's the one thing I could have done without in this match, was having as much interference as he did.
But it worked into the story they were telling.
It did, because as I messaged you, it's that idea of like, Cody saying he's not ready. And so Solo's enacting some of that on Cody of just like, oh, okay, you say I'm not ready? How about this? Whap. But I don't know.
Okay. So after multiple near falls and everyone got their big moment, and I love the whole point where they're fighting on the outside, and each time they kept making sure we broke the count, which was great storytelling. You had Usos get involved, Kevin Owens get involved, Sami Zayn get involved after Solo was tossed out. And it was like, he's going to do it. He didn't do it. Solo showed back up, hit him with
the spike
in the corner. The air got let out of the building. Roman Reigns is still your champion.
I picked Cody to win. I'm not surprised they kept it on Roman. I figured there's a lot more story to be told because the Usos lost the titles the night before. There's a little ways to go before they finally break up the bloodline. It'll eventually happen, but that story, that's part of a long game by WWE.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give you a quote. It's almost perfectly spelled out in the story. I need to finish the story. In the WWE, This story never finishes. Tomorrow night on Raw, the story continues. It takes another chapter.
Cody Rhodes.
Triple H. Oh. At the press conference a little while ago. He also, the quote was, I'll read one more, scroll for it. It's all based on his booking decisions, right? It's always a feel. And where you're at the moment is the right place to be and bank on what's next. So you continue to tell a story. But if I didn't feel like we had a compelling story on the other side, it wouldn't be the decision. Under previous regimes in the last few years, you wouldn't be able to trust them to know they had another story planned. Here you can trust they at least know the direction they're going.
No, Rock, they don't know what they're doing. Everything is wrong. It's all horrible.
They don't let my favorite wrestler, the guy I want to win, they don't give him the belt. So I think I'm going to cancel everything and even the subscription to my newspaper because I'm so mad.
As I said leading into this show with the three of us, am I disappointed that things turned out this way? Sure. Would I have liked to see the other finish? I think it would have worked, and it's something that's like, in my head, there could have been some stories that came from that. Okay, sure. But at the same time, am I just, this is the end, this is awful, nothing good can come of this? No, because tomorrow's show, which we all know will be absolutely crazy in some moments, is the season premiere, the opening kickoff.
It's for opening, the next season. Opening day.
Yep.
Day one.
Hold your finger up.
And
I actually was holding my finger up.
So WWE has spent a lot of money this weekend, because I've had ESPN on a lot, on advertising Raw after Mania. Seen it a bunch on ESPN. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's going to be big. So going through it all, we had two title changes, multiple celebrity appearances, legends, questionable booking decisions by some. The biggest takeaway when you describe two nights of WrestleMania this year, Tim, is what?
You'll have to ask me that again.
What's your biggest takeaway? How would you describe, basically, these two nights of WrestleMania?
Very damn entertaining for what it was and for the company that put it on. And there's a reason why wrestlers who want to break into the business want to end up in WWE. It's the show. And over the last two nights, we got a show. We got a bunch of damn good wrestling on both nights, even though we all agree that night one was better than night two. Night two didn't suck.
No.
My takeaway was WrestleMania 39 is Snickers. It really satisfied.
What's your takeaway from both nights? If you could sum it up, right?
Kind of like Tim, I would say, ultimately, if I wanted to talk about what WrestleMania was, I would say entertaining. Because there's things that happen throughout. And I mean, there's been other other premium live events or pay-per-views that have happened. And I just kind of look at it. And at the end, I feel wasted. I feel just spent watching it. And I don't mean like emotionally, because sometimes like after night one, you could feel emotionally spent because you just went through everything and you were like, I was so happy with the end and I'm just, you know, wow, that happened. And then there's spent as in like, I've just watched 24 hours of wrestling. Oh my God, I can't do this anymore.
Fatigue. Fatigue's a better descriptor.
Fatigue. Okay, thank you. But I mean, there's times when you just feel fatigued watching even a Monday Night Raw. By the time you're done, you're like, I can't. But I didn't feel this way watching Mania. It was like, okay, it's going on. Okay, we're on to the next match. By the time we got to the main event tonight, I was just like, wait, is there another match between? No, we're going right into the main. Okay.
Tonight was like super fast compared to last night. But last night just felt a lot tighter, even though it was longer.
There was more. There were seven last night, six tonight in terms of matches. And what changes things up for how WWE presents a wrestling show compared to AEW, where we get, 14 matches on a pay-per-view at times?
Oh, God, yes.
WWE, because it's a Peacock show, there's 5-minute break. You can settle in and sort of, like, digest everything you've seen before you get to the next thing. That's why it didn't feel like you were fatigued through it, is you had time. You went, okay, I just saw Hell in a Cell. There's like 10 minutes between everything. You had the Hall of Fame and whatever. they gave you time to, okay, I just saw this. And the only match, I think, that was quick between things was Brock and Omos to the women's showcase. Everything else had, like, a real gap in between. And that's good. Like, I know people complain, well, there's so much filler. Yeah, guess what? It's fine. You don't need 17 matches in one night.
There felt like a lot more filler last night than tonight.
It
really did.
I think it was pretty, because there was one less match, so there was less filler tonight.
Well, there was one less filler segment, but tonight's matches overall were shorter than last night's matches. And that was one of the reasons why it felt so much shorter, so much quicker. Was the pacing tonight was totally different than the pacing last night.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, the matches, they gave everybody like real time last night. Not saying that nobody got any time tonight, but what they wanted to get accomplished tonight, they were able to do it with shorter matches. There were a couple that were nice and long. The main event was quite drawn out.
It's a Roman Reigns match.
I think they had three false finishes too much tonight. Too many.
So Tim, I'm gonna read you numbers, ready? These are the times from night one. 11:20, 8:30, 16:15, 14:40, 14:55, 23:35, 3:40. That was the Miz Pat McAfee thing. And 24:15. Tonight, 4:55, 8:25, 16:40, 16:05. Minute 20, that's the Snoop Dogg thing with Miz. 18:10, and then 34:35. You were actually kind of longer with the match times tonight than last night.
It really didn't feel that way. It felt totally the opposite.
Yeah.
So. Now, does that mean that overall, despite our saying last night was more entertaining, tonight was a better presentation? Or what does it say about last night feeling like the matches were a lot longer?
Everything surrounding those matches felt grander than tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger entrances and bigger spots in those matches, which made it feel bigger than tonight.
Yeah, that's a better word. It felt like a bigger production. It was like almost an hour longer last night.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
When did we start?
I remember looking at the clock and it said like 9:24 Mountain, and we were still waiting for the main event.
We started last night a little bit after midnight. We started tonight before midnight. So yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit shorter. Like by 15, 20 minutes. Something like that.
It was like when I was saying longer, I didn't mean that it felt like it was dragging.
No, no.
It ended
like 15, 20 minutes shorter than it was the night before.
It was like I could go back and watch night one over again before I would watch night two over again.
But if you put this whole thing in one big giant, here's WrestleMania. It was a fantastic WrestleMania top to bottom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, big emotional roller coasters and everything like that all throughout, you know, two nights. Favorite match, though, Brent? Make a decision.
If we're talking just wrestling, probably Rhea Charlotte.
Yep.
If I'm talking my most invested match, it's Kevin Sammy.
Okay. Tim.
Yeah, objectively speaking, Rhea Charlotte. You know how I feel about Charlotte. I've had enough of her.
I know.
Which is not to take anything away. Yeah, she's good. Everybody has that one person they've had enough of. I've had enough of Charlotte. Right. I could watch that match over and over and over just for what it delivered. Subjectively speaking, it was Sami KO versus Bloodline, which is again objectively versus bias.
Gonna give you a Brandi Rhodes tweet, Brent. Hard times breed better men. It's fitting, huh?
Gee, it's like it's part of a theme.
Huh. And one...
But,
go ahead.
But honestly, if anything, if you want to build off this... hey, Tim?
Yeah.
what's Dusty most known for?
If you will.
Being the working man.
Being the working man. The son of a plumber, if you will.
Right. He was always going up against the Four Horsemen, who were led by the entitled Ric Flair.
Yep.
So when it came to Dusty, he's the underdog. He's the common man. He's, you know, so when he beat Rick for the NWA title.
How big was that?
Right. It's overcoming all of that adversity that you had. It's beating the horseman. It's doing all that. Gee, it's almost like he's starting to do, it's almost like he's starting to be like his father.
Yeah. You see, that's old school storytelling. And the younger generation are the ones whining, bitching, moaning, and crying. The millennials and Generation Z, bitching and complaining on social media that they don't like what they're seeing because they're not getting what they want. And these are the kids that showed up in school and got 60% just because they put their name at the top of the test page because nobody's allowed to fail. Get rid of participation ribbons, for Christ's sakes. Learn that there is adversity in life. This is what the old school storytelling is all about.
Now, Brent.
Yes.
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Okay. Oh, this is
ooh.
Not good. All right.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
What?
Ooh. Putting it in our group chat. Ooh. Oof.
Holy shiesney. Oof. Yeah, I guess they did need to stop the match.
Oof. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wowzers.
His tweet was,
that's a bit of a gosh, eh?
Yeah, just a flesh wound. According to Finn.
Oh, that
Twitter.
Looks a little painful, don't you know?
Yeah. But a flesh wound. Just no, it isn't.
That's a flesh wound. I've had worse. If, no, you haven't.
If you want to see it, it's on Finn's Twitter, at Finn Balor.
God, that looks nasty.
God damn. No wonder they stopped the match for so long. I wonder what they put in there, because he was still leaking after they doctored him a little bit. He should have been gushing out clotting blood.
It was a numbing agent and staples,
yeah.
I believe.
Was it staples or yes. Did they crazy glue it?
They said, I heard staples.
From what I read, staples.
Ouch. That so, just puts him on another level, getting staples in the middle of a fucking wrestling match and continuing on.
It is just another level now.
Is he Sabu's, like, illegitimate son or something?
Sabu's.
You don't like how I say Sabu, do you?
No, or Sasha.
Sasha?
What's wrong with Sasha?
There you go. You said it right now.
There we
okay,
go.
Okay, so say Sabu correctly.
Sabu.
Sabu.
That's what I say is Sabu.
Anyway, housekeeping.
All right. Oh, this does not. This is worse than Finn's gash. All right. So, I thought WrestleMania was going to go slightly different, or, you know, I thought maybe some storylines might have worked out in a way. So in 12th place is me and the 8-Ball at 4-9.
Damn.
Yeah. WWE 2K23 finished 5-8. I still gave them Kevin and Sammy because they had them winning, but they had them winning by a count out and not getting the
titles. Which we streamed live on Twitch. Just for people, the archive, if you want to go back and see, it's in the VOD here at Twitch or youtube.com/RockRadioShow, where we have tons of content as well.
Wait, I have one more question about this. Hey, Rock, so what did the game say would happen for Day 2's opening match?
Oh, what was the... It was a countout?
It was a countout win by Omos.
Yeah.
How would you like that, Tim? A countout by Omos.
Oy vey.
WWE 2K23 finished in 11th place by itself. Tied for 7th place is Tim, Keishi, Rock, and the Wheel of Fun, all at 6-7. So, yeah, you're below 500 with me.
I'm okay with that, because guess what? If you don't get everything,
enjoyable.
It's enjoyable. I'd rather get all of them wrong than all of them right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's those ones, those premium life events where we only have 5 matches, and it's like, yeah, everyone went 4-1. It's like, okay. Cool.
Right. If I really wanted to go perfect, I would put full thought in on that pick with, like, okay, this is what I want to see emotionally.
Yeah, it's all good. Tied for 5th place at 7-6, Sub and Rob.
And I bet they didn't get the same 7 right either.
No. They got Kevin and Sammy right together. They got Rollins right together. They got Cody wrong together. Everything else was alternating.
There you go.
I'm not kidding.
That's a debt. That's how that should go.
That is the gimmick.
Yeah.
Tied for second place at 9-4. We have our AEW expert, Lindsay Ward, host of The Rack.
Hi, Lindsay.
Don't worry, Lindsay. Double or Nothing's coming up here in a month. You can pick those and continue your streak. Also, we have Chris P. and Michael. And I do have to say Chris P. got one wrong because for one match, he put Mysterious. Not Ray, not Dominic. Mysterious. So I'm not awarding a point.
Yeah, you don't get a point for shit like that. The fuck?
And then, drum roll please. In first place, going 10-3, Sheila.
There you go.
I'm never going to hear the end of this.
All right.
Okay. I just opened that picture up in my browser and expanded it full size. Oh my God! Yeah, they use staples. There's one left in there.
Yeah.
That is nasty. Like, that one part, that's, like, right down to a skull. Holy, ooh.
Mm-hmm. Wrestling's fake, y'all.
Yeah.
Wrestling's fake.
Wrestling's fake. Fuck them.
But that'll
do
it.
See all, you scroll down to his forehead and you see all the blading he's done in his career.
But that'll do it for two-night recap of WrestleMania here on WTR Sunday night.
That means that we're done for the night, but everything kicks off with a new season tomorrow, immediately following Raw with the post show.
It is the Raw post show, Raw After Mania, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Want to know what Lindsay Ward thought about two-night WrestleMania? You're going to find out on The Rack, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, with Rock.
We're going to talk day two of WrestleMania this Thursday. 10 p.m. Eastern, and then the Rack will be, and then the Rack will be back live May 4th.
Ooh, a Star Wars Day.
Yeah, we're not covering Star Wars that day.
No. What's that?
We're not doing Star Wars that day. It's a fake holiday.
Sorry,
it's both Halloween, April Fools, and Valentine's Day. That's beside the point. It doesn't keep people.
I understand. It's still a fake holiday. Just pointing it out there. Anyway, continue, Tim. You're not going to shill into the CB Radio? We'll just go with that.
I think it might cut up.
Okay, fine. CB Radio returns this Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Right before that will be Fortnite with Friends. We'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. An Easter edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll probably be talking about a sale of World Wrestling Entertainment. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. We're on Instagram at Wild Talk Radio. TikTok, TalkTik at WTR Live. What, Brent?
I didn't see anything.
Huh? I just said something. WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim's on Twitter at Flames Forums. Follow him there. He talks hockey and stuff. Brent's on Twitter.
Find me at Kane Kittens.
Casey, who should be back soon, is at Kyle Driver on Instagram and Twitter. He has a Redbubble description in the bios of both platforms. Do the thing. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use Curry Code Rock to get a Fortnite item shop. Hashtag Epic Partner. Tim's giving a lot of feedback. So, there's that. Anyway, we will see you next week and all week long on the airwaves, the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.